but deep. I won't dwell, though, because Christmas should be a time of hope and love and, most appealing of all at this very moment, sleep. Sleep, punctuated by bouts of competitive eating with my brother Daryl and his girlfriend Anna, and the whole gamut of cheesy Christmas movies. Because how could you ever be too tired to watch some hapless guy stand out in the cold and hold up signs silently declaring to his best friend's wife that his wasted heart will always love her? Though is that romance? I'm not so sure. I mean, it kind of is, in a schmaltzy way, but it's also being the shittiest friend on the planet. I've given up worrying about the germs in here because I've undoubtedly ingested enough to kill me if they're going to, so I lean my forehead against the steamy window and watch Camden High Street slide by in a glitter of Christmas lights and bright, fuggy shop windows selling everything from leather jackets to tacky London souvenirs. It's barely 4 in the afternoon, yet already it's dusk over London. I don't think it got properly light at all today. My reflection tells me that I should probably pull the naff halo of tinsel from my hair that my cow of a manager made me wear because I look like I'm trying out for the Angel Gabriel in a primary school nativity, but I find that I can't really be bothered. No one else on this bus could care less. Not the damp, anoraked man next to me taking up more than his half of the seat as he dozes over yesterday's paper. Nor the bunch of school kids shouting across each other on the back seats, and certainly not dandruff woman in front of me with her flashing snowflake earrings. The irony of her jewellery choice is not lost on me. If I were more of a bitch, I might tap her on the shoulder and advise her that she's drawing attention to the skin blizzard she's depositing with every shake of her head. I'm not a bitch, though. Or maybe I'm just a quiet one inside my own head. Isn't everyone? Jesus, how many more stops is this bus going to make? I'm still a couple of miles from my flat and already it's fuller than a cattle truck on market day. Come on, I think, move. Take me home. Though home is going to be a pretty depressing place now that my flatmate Sarah has gone back to her parents. Only one more day, then I'll be out of here too, I remind myself. The bus shudders to a halt at the end of the street and I watch as down below a stream of people jostle to get off at the same time as others try to push their way on. It's as if they think it's one of those competitions to see how many people can fit into one small space. There's a guy perched on one of the fold-down seats in the bus shelter. This can't be his bus because he's engrossed in the hardback book in his hands. I notice him because he seems oblivious to the pushing and shoving happening right in front of him. Like one of those fancy special effects at the movies where someone is completely still and the world kaleidoscopes around them, slightly out of focus. I can't see his face, just the top of his sandy hair cut slightly long and given to a wave when it grows, I should imagine. He's bundled into a navy woolen reefer jacket and a scarf that looks like someone might have knitted it for him. It's kitsch and unexpected against the coolness of the rest of his attire, dark skinny jeans and boots. And his concentration is completely held by his book. I squint, trying to duck my head to see what he's reading, wiping the steamed up window with my coat sleeve to get a better look. I don't know if it's the movement of my arm across the glass or the flickering lights of dandruff woman's earrings that snag in his peripheral vision, but he lifts his head and blinks a few times as he focuses his attention on my window. On me. We stare straight at each other and I can't look away. I feel my lips move as if I'm going to say something, God knows what, and all of a sudden and out of nowhere, I need to get off this bus. I'm gripped by the overwhelming urge to go outside, to get to him. But I don't move a muscle because I know there isn't a chance in hell that I can get past anorak man beside me and push through the packed bus before it pulls away. So I make the split-second decision to stay rooted to the spot and try to convey to him to get on board using just the hot, desperate longing in my eyes. He's not film star good-looking or classically perfect, but there is an air of preppy disheveledness and an earnest, who me, charm about him that captivates me. I can't quite make out the colour of his eyes from here. Green, I'd say, or blue, maybe. And here's the thing, call it wishful thinking, but I'm sure I see the same thunderbolt hit him too, as if an irresistible fork of lightning has inexplicably joined us together. Recognition, naked, electric shock in his rounded eyes. He does something close to an incredulous double take, the kind of thing you might do when you coincidentally spot your oldest and best friend who you haven't seen for ages and you can't actually believe they're there. It's a look of